But I try to speak about 5, 6, 7 minutes before every time I speak on one of the mountains. The mountains are these pictures in the hallway on the left as you leave. They're where Bill Bright and Lauren Cunningham divided up society in business, government, arts and entertainment, family, church, education. And so I'm doing, I'll just speak on them, but I'm now calling them a mountain moment just because I like little catchy words. And so for the next 5 or 6 minutes, I've chosen today the family. This is a picture of what's out there in the hallway, a family moment. Why? Because this is Father's Day. So if you're a father in here, just raise your hand. Y'all are awesome. I just want to let you know that you are the salvation of this country in a social way. Fathers have been taking a beating over the head for the last 40 years. You see them in comics. I mean, sitcoms, they're always the doofus. You always got to have the mom to straighten things out. They're absentee. I'm telling you, that's just an attack on the father. We need, and we are now reaping not having fathers in the home. Fathers have a unique thing that God puts into a family. A family, which is, you know, the definition of it is all off the charts. But the God's definition that provides stability to a family is a mother and a father with kids, and both of them complement each other. Mothers typically, this is generally, typically give more of the nurturing, the mercy, the compassion. But the reason there's so many people that are hopeless as they get into their 20s and 30s and directionless and just selfish and narcissistic is because the father gives stability and he gives direction and he gives purpose. And when that person's out of the home, it's not just life as normal. They tend to be directionless. They tend to be purposeless. And that's why in the Old Testament, in the Jewish society, at 12, the mom literally turned the children over to the dad for the rest of their training. She basically did all of it up to 12, and then after that, the dad took it over. There's a lot there. It's a good study. But you as a father give purpose. That's why we have such purposeless, you know, things happen in life and direction. And so I just, as I often like to do handouts because there's so much good stuff in Christianity. There's so many good things. This thing didn't quite print out right at the bottom, but J. Lee Grady is the former editor of Charisma. I love him. I get his blog regularly. And so you can go back and read this, but 7 essential qualities of successful dads. I want to pick out 2 here that I think, you know, we could talk about any of these. But 3, a dad is affectionate. I grew up, I always knew my dad loved me, but he was not affectionate because his dad wasn't affectionate. You know, there was this generation where men didn't show affection. They didn't cry. They didn't hug. They didn't say, I love you. That was my dad. I always knew he loved me, but it was not till I was 26 till he actually said that. But I always knew he loved me. But so what I've done, I've not been the best at it, and I challenge you, if you haven't done it, tell your kids every day, give them a hug, I love you. Now what happens is when you get Israel's age, he's 12, you can raise back there, they don't like you to do it in public, but still do it in private. Then when James says when they get 18, they're ready for you to do it again. But every day, grab them, kiss them on the forehead, say, I love you. Be affectionate with them. We're built to need touch. And for those that don't have touch or don't like touch, there's some things that need to be healed there. But we are built to need it, even as guys. And for those that you have older children, they're in their 30s or 40s, you know, maybe don't do it in public, but go up and hug them, say, I love you. You do yours anytime? All right, so he's a good example. So do that. Now that has been changing with my generation, but let's just accelerate it. It's good. Because Jesus, I mean, you look at what God did and Jesus did. Man, these guys were affectionate. It's just an American culture thing. And it's trying to isolate us and do it. And I say an American. Have you ever been in Italy or been around Italian families? It's not just a man thing. I mean, they come up. I've been overseas where somebody I didn't even know comes up and kisses me on both sides of my cheek. I'm like, whoa, what's this going on? You know, we get weird thinking. But that's not the way it is. That's just the way they are. They're real affectionate. If you've been around true Italian families, they're patting people on the back. That's a good characteristic that we've gotten weird in America with. The next one is the bottom one, number six. It's got a little cut off. I apologize, but you can get the gist of it. A dad is stable. Now, there's so many horror stories about dads coming in. If he's had a bad day at work, he's yelling. If he's had a good day at work, he's smiling. Or he's an alcoholic. Everybody runs under the beds. I'm telling you, a dad, you need to be consistent. And if you're in a bad mood, stop 5 minutes from the house. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray. Do whatever you got to do. Get consistent. Don't let your kids wonder, is he up or is he down today? Let them always be the way. Now, I'm not saying fake it to the point. Your stability affects the whole family. It really does. You know, they say if mom's not happy, nobody's happy. And that is true, too. But it's even more if the dad is unstable, the whole family's not stable. You are a big chunk of it. You're just more quiet about it sometimes. And it's a little bit more behind the scenes, but that stability is a big deal. So let's just give everybody that's not a dad, a father, just give clap offerings to fathers here today. They are a blessing. There's two more up here if you didn't get enough. All right. I've been teaching on thinking like a son, and I was going to teach on it again because I'm barely into it. And I just felt the Lord speak to me very clearly. What you're teaching, Craig, is good. But you need to back up to the basics. You're teaching on subjects that are good, being a friend of God, being a servant of God, being a son of God. But you need to back up because not everybody knows how to hear the voice of the Lord. And so that's what I'm going to teach on today. Start on it. I don't know what I'll do next time because I'm great at making plans, but he's constantly changing them. Have you ever had that happen to you? And so today we're going to talk about how to hear God's voice, real basic teaching. But evidently we need a review for some of us, or maybe the first time as we go through this. And it's fun to talk about it. Now, let me set the groundwork. When you got saved, the super, which is God, came into the natural. We say ask Jesus into our hearts, but really, I mean, we do that, and that's good, but it's actually the Holy Spirit that comes into your heart. And he says, when Jesus exited the earth and came from the earth, he told the disciples, go wait in the upper room because you need a helper. The helper is the Holy Spirit. And what is he going to do? He's going to comfort you, and he's going to teach you. And so I'm going to talk about how he comforts you and how he teaches you. Now, in the America, the fascination with the supernatural is growing. And it's not always good. That's the dark imitating the light, because right now the light is growing. What do I mean by that? The Holy Spirit, God the Father, is calling people into a closer relationship with him. And when he calls you into a closer relationship with him, he's going to use you more in supernatural things that you cannot take the credit for. So the devil senses that, and he's throwing out all this other stuff. You know, there's so many fantasy TV series on TV, and there's so many occult-type stuff on TV. And I watch some of those, but you got to be careful. There's so much supernatural activity and people are interested, and we as a church need to tell them this is the avenue to the supernatural. Yes. See, in the movies, the Star Wars, the Force, it was one neutral force. You could use it for good or bad. It's a fun movie, but that's Hindu teaching. It is not real. There are two forces that are supernatural, the devil's side and God's side. There are demons and there are angels. And we need to be able to discern the difference. Like right now, real popular, that's being lit on fire across the United States through Twitter, is Charlie. Many of you have heard that game. Well, good. That means you're not into it. It's huge among teenagers and college students. It is a game where you put down a piece of paper similar to a Ouija board. You put four coordinates on it. You put a pencil on it and then a pencil on top of it. And then you ask for Charlie to come and move that pencil and put it in a certain quadrant. And you know, it is happening. Now, what's moving that pencil? It is not God, because God does not work that way. That is not how He teaches you. I'm going to tell you today how there's many ways, but two of the most common ways He teaches you. If that pencil moved and it wasn't the air conditioner that just came on, you are harnessing a demon. And they always come as an angel of light. Okay, they never show themselves until you get hooked, and then when you get hooked, you can't get out. You got to have deliverance by a spirit-filled Christian somewhere. So that those kind of things are growing. And so we're just aware of them, but we always know they're a counterfeit. But I want to tell you here today, God speaks to each one of you. It's not just to Pastor James, not just to super spiritual people. It is your right for Him to speak to each one of you. The supernatural lives inside of you. And guess what? You will hear voices. Some of you are going, whew. Normal psychological people can hear voices. Not in their head, but out of their heart. And I want to talk about that today because it makes a big difference. But Jesus saved you for a relationship. Well, how do you have a relationship without talking? Or communicating of some sort or another? You can't. The church I grew up in said God only spoke to you through the Scriptures, and He does. That's a major big way. As you're reading the Scriptures, you see how He thinks, you see how He moves, you see how He acts. But He also speaks with a still small voice inside of you. Let me find, I got so many verses here. Let's talk about, let's go to 1 Kings 19:11, Mike. It's in there somewhere. And so God speaks to you through your spirit. Now, this was the hardest concept for me to understand. I'm a very mental-driven person. Okay, some people are body-driven. I'm hungry, it's time to eat. Other people go, like me, all right, I'm on a schedule, we're going to follow this thing. Thoughts from God do not come from your mind first. Where does He live? In your heart. Not your physical heart, but the heart was the center of your body in the King James or the Old Testament time. And it's, you know, what we call almost our emotions. That's where He lives. He uses our mind, but He does not live in our mind. So, we'll talk more about this because I know it's a little weird concept, but God's Spirit, when He will literally speak to you, well, I can't hear an audible voice. You don't need an audible voice because He's inside of you. He speaks directly from your heart to your mind. Have you ever been going along all of a sudden a thought just pops in and it doesn't come from the regular place of thinking it out, and you go, that's good. And it draws you closer to God or makes you conscious of God, or was that God? Many of you have ever had that experience. And you go, well, that's just my mind. No, it's probably God. We have to learn to slow down and listen to those things. If a thought just pops in and it's real good, and you go, after a while, it takes a little practice, you realize it came from down here instead of up here. It's probably God. But this is how He speaks. 1 Kings 19, verse 11. And He said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. This is a mountain in the King James. And behold, the Lord passed by. God said He was going to be speaking to him. And so He said, go up here. This is how I'm going to speak to you. Now, realize He did not have the Holy Spirit on the inside of Him. But it's still a pattern for us. And a great and strong wind blew over the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. It's just wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, what does it say? Yeah, a gentle whisper. Still small voice. Great. Now that's how He speaks. We often think if God's going to speak to me, it's going to be like an earthquake or a fire or a wind. No. Well, what about all those times that it did that in the Old Testament, in the beginning of the New Testament? All the audible voices and the angels. That's because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. He's got, you know, Facebook Messenger on the inside of you now. Or text messages or whatever you use, Snapchat, WhatsApp, whatever. So why does he need to send a fire? It's a still small voice on the inside of you. Now, can God speak audibly? Yes. I have never heard the audible voice of God. Most Christians I know have never heard the audible voice of God. Why? How many of you have ever heard the audible voice of God? One back here, two. Few. It's rare. Now, he's spoken so loud to me on the inside, I thought it was the audible voice of God. I'm not saying he doesn't, but it's not real as necessary because he's inside of us and do this still small voice. I've never had an angel come to my room. It does happen. How many of you ever had angels come and give you direction? Not just see them, but actually spoke to you. All right, there's a few. So those are valid ways. But that's not what you seek. You seek the still small voice that's on the inside of you. Give me just a second. All right. Well, how do you learn the still small voice? You have to get, I'm sorry, the small voice. How do you learn? You have to get still. Now, this does take a discipline. They say, I've seen different numbers, at any one time during the day, you're bombarded with up to 10,000 ads a day. When you count all the ones on the internet and the billboards on the side of the road and the radio stations and the TV commercials. And so what you have to do is get yourself in a place to filter out all the noise. Slow your mind down and let the soul or the spirit start speaking to you. Now, for Americans, this is hard. We do not like to be still. Now, Hindus and Confucius and Buddha, they all practice meditation. The principle is biblical. The way they do it is not. Don't ever practice meditation that way, because what they do is try to clear your mind. What the biblical meditation does is to stop you and slow you down, but you fill it of conversations with the Lord or a reading of scriptures. You don't empty it, you focus. And so that's how it's a counterfeit. And that's why it's so popular in America today, because people are trying to find some peace. And so what you got to do is filter out all of this noise and unclutter your brain. How many of you just say, I can't take it anymore, there's so much noise? It is hard for a still small voice to speak over the top 10 country hits on the radio. Nothing wrong with listening to top 10 country hits on the radio, or whatever you listen to, pop music, rock and roll, Rush Limbaugh, whatever, Alan Combs. All of those things, as you listen to them, your mind's so preoccupied you never hear it. You have to get to yourself to a place where you can hear, Gary, Gary. But if he's talking so much to Joe, he won't hear, Gary. Now, why does God work that way? I don't know. I think he just wants our full attention. How many of you ever been married to your spouse or person at work or friend? You're trying to talk to them and they're looking at their phone, or they're talking to somebody else, and you know about every third word's getting in.
Oh, yeah.
God just shuts up. He's like, I'm not competing.
Yeah, it does. Sure does.
Wow. Going wild is because there's so much I want to say. This is what we're going to do. We're going to quit there, but we're going to do some exercises. What we're going to do is we're going to practice this. Does that have a second hand on that clock? Yeah, that'd be good. Then I don't have to get out my phone. For 1 minute, we're just going to close our eyes. And if you can't do that, that's fine. If you think your little brother's going to hit you, or you got your eyes closed or something. Well, for 1 minute, we're going to just be silent. And at the beginning of it, I want you to say this. Just say this. Say, Father, I love you. And then do not say anything else. I've been at some prayer meetings that I was a part of and I was doing, where I was doing so much asking and talking, there was no way God could ever give me an answer because I wouldn't shut up. He was like, I'm trying to answer it and give you the answer, but you're off on to the eighth thing now. You got me? Plus, it's a good spiritual discipline. This is a hard discipline for Americans. And you're going to think, if you're the average American, if you do this all the time, it won't be. You're going to think this minute is way longer than 60 seconds. So, in just a second, we're just going to, I'm just going to say start. We're going to do 60 seconds, and then I'll stop after 60. And just say, Father, I love you. Don't say anything. I mean, you can say it quietly. You can say it in your head. But say that and just sit still. I mean, you can meditate on that thought. All right. Boy, that second hand is hard to see up there. Hold on. Get my stopwatch out because I... Old man eyes and the glare there. All right, let's start. All right, that was 1 minute. Let me look up a verse. And then I'm going to go around. And did anybody get anything they felt the Lord tell them? Just some little word or still small voice or anything that he told you? I want to make it quick. We'll go around.
Come away with me. It's never too late.
Joe, you got anything? He's wanting me to stay busy seeking my kingdom, to stay busy, to not be stagnant and not do anything.
So how did you hear that? I mean, how did you hear that?
It's just in my heart. It's just when I said, Father, I love you, and I was just sitting there, and my mind's going, What is God wanting me to do? What does he call me to do? I know he just don't want me to sit here and be saved. There's got to be more to this knowing Christ. And he was just, you just keep doing more.
So this thought just came up. Yeah. Where did you think it? I mean, did it feel like to you like it came up from your center?
Yes, it came from my heart.
Did it feel different than a thought coming from your mind?
Yes, it felt different.
All right. Anybody else?
All your prayers are being answered. Yeah.
All right, that's good.
All prayers are being answered.
Anybody else?
All of our prayers.
Anybody else? Oh, we got some over here.
Right after I told him I love him, I wanted to go in and tell him more of that. And right off the bat, he said, that's enough.
Wow. So he speaks to everybody different where you're at.
Yeah, he told me that he loved me, and he told me he placed a sensitive heart within me.
Wow, that's good. Anybody else want to share? Mike, while we're doing this, I don't have my notes in front of me, and I'm just skipping around. Look through those verses and find the one about Samuel hearing from God and then going to Eli and going back and forth. It's in one of those, and we'll cue it up here in a minute. Anybody else? So that's cool. As I was just sitting here, I just said the same thing, and I just felt the Lord say, thank you for doing this. Because He wants to speak to you. It does take practice. And if Mike can find that verse, if not, I will find. I can do a search here. Well, anyway, give me a second. That's what you get for going out of order. That could be in next week's lesson, so I'm just going to paraphrase. There was a young man, 12 years old, his name was Samuel. He was assigned to the priest of Israel, the high priest of Israel, Eli, to be his servant. Samuel was in the bed, and the Lord spoke to him. He got up. He thought it was Eli. And so he ran to Eli and said, what do you want? Eli said, I didn't say anything. So he went back to bed. He heard the voice of the Lord again. He got up, thought it was Eli, ran into Eli. And Eli finally started realizing, okay, this is God speaking to this young man. And he said to Eli, he said, when you hear the voice again, say, Father, this is your servant. I'm listening. See, it takes some time to train your voice to the voice of the Lord. When you first heard your spouse, well, it depends on how you were dating, but if the first time you heard them, say, was on a telephone, you wouldn't know who they were. Oh, you found the verse? Yeah, there you go. The Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, here I am. And he started to learn the pattern of how God was speaking to him. It's the same with us. It'll be slightly different for everybody. So we're going to do this for another minute. And this time, I want you at the beginning to say, Father, your servant is listening. I'm going to do this for another minute, okay? All right, we'll start now. Sort of gets easier the second time, doesn't it? Maybe. Anybody has anything they want to share? The Lord spoke to you. You need to do this the rest of your life. Pull apart. It says Jesus did it every morning. He went off somewhere. As you do this, you'll learn to recognize His voice so that if He wants to speak to you outside of these quiet times, you'll learn to recognize it. It's like your kids. You can be in the middle of a party, middle of a big swimming pool, shindig, everything's going off. But if your kid or your wife talks all across the room, you'll pick it up out of everybody. Happen the same way with the Holy Spirit. I remember years ago when I was a motorcycle rider, I was at an intersection, and I was turning left and turning onto a four-lane road. I've told this story before, and I was going to take the inside lane on the four-lane road. You know what I'm talking about, the one next to the double yellow lines. And when I was first in line, when I turned green, turned left, started moving to the inside, which was always my habit. I don't know why, but and as soon as I started doing it, as clear as anything, the Lord said, move to the outside lane now. Still small voice, but it came out of the clutter of the motorcycle engine and the noise and all this stuff. And I did that quickly. Sometimes you just got to obey quickly. You know, we'll do it later. Later may not be an option. And a car had run the red light, and he was on that inside lane next to the double lane. And he came flying through the intersection. And if I was able to go out and I missed him, but if I'd been stayed where I was, he would have hit me in the rear. It probably wouldn't have ended well, because I wouldn't have been going very fast by then, and he was flying trying to make the yellow light. And so he can shout across different things, but it was the same type of thing. Amen? So your lab this week is to work on the still small voice, pull away from the clutter, and he'll start speaking. That is the primary way he speaks to you. There's another way of impressions, and we'll do that maybe next time. But that's the number one way he wants to speak to you. Romans 8:14, he says, those who hear the Spirit of God are the sons of God. It is your right. It's not anybody else's. He'll speak different things to different people, like this first exercise did, because we all have got different things he wants us to do, different points in our relationship. But he'll put it all together like a chess game, like a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. Here's your little piece. You put it in. You go, this just seems like a little piece. It's not a big deal. You know, what's my life worth? That puzzle will not look right if your piece is not there. One day, maybe we see some of the pieces around us on earth now, but one day you'll see the whole jigsaw puzzle, and you'll go, wow, this was a cool picture. All right. 5 minutes. We got another exercise for you. I wanted to get you break up into groups of 2 to 4 people. Just go around getting 2 to 4 people. Put those 3 questions up, Mike, that last thing. And so get in groups of 2 to 4, whatever makes sense, bigger or 3 or whatever, and just talk with one another and work through these questions. We're only going to do this for 5, 6, 7 minutes. You may not get through all these questions, but just share together. Has God ever spoken to you? How often? And how does he speak to you? Any other questions that come up? And then we're going to end the service after that. Oh, you want me to be in my group? All right. Y'all need some people in your group? Yeah, come. Vicky, go over there with them. I'm ordering you around. All right. You taken care of? All right, cool. All right. Everybody's taken care of. All right.